In 1948 saw another major change in the organizational structure of all public higher education in New York State.
Originally, the Board of Regents, with the State Education Department as the administrative arm, controlled all higher education, or all public higher education in the state of New York. This meant that the teachers' colleges, the six Ag and Tech schools, our five institutes of applied arts and sciences, the Forestry College at Syracuse, Ag at Cornell, Home Ec at Cornell, so forth, all of these schools were under the State Education Department and under the Board of Regents. In 1948, Governor Thomas E. Dewey created on paper the State University of New York. And why I say it's on paper, because all that was done was to collect all of the institutions of higher education, that is the public institutions of higher education in the state, and simply say this is the State University of New York. All of the institutions I just mentioned now became a part of that higher education system. And the Institute of Buffalo was one of many that became now an integral, a positive part of the state university. I might say that Governor Dewey actually forced this change through. The Board of Regents resisted it very much. And when the new state university was created, there was a separate Board of Trustees established for state university. This board, there was competition or some antagonism, some feeling between the Board of Trustees of State University and the Board of Regents. The Board of Regents, however, is still the supreme governing body of all education in the state of New York. But there was a certain amount of feeling between the State Education Department and the State University, and that feeling really existed for a great many years, a certain antagonism, a certain feeling that the State University should not have been separated from the State Ed Department. However, this was the plan. It, I guess, has proved to be successful. It did provide New York State and the residents of New York State with eventually a very large and very positive system of higher education for all the residents of New York State. It might be mentioned, speaking about the residents of New York State, that at this time all of those units were tuition free. There was no tuition paid by any student going to a public institution of higher education. They did have to pay activity fees, of course, had to buy their books, supplies, and that type of thing. But there was no tuition until several years later. It also might be mentioned that a person who was very instrumental in the establishment of the two-year schools and was a great friend in Albany was Dr. Lawrence L. Jarvie. Under the State Ed Department, he was an assistant commissioner for higher education in charge of the two-year schools. When the state university was formed, he moved over into the administrative area of the state university and became the executive dean for two-year schools in the state university system. Dr. Jarvie played a very, very important part in the establishment of the two-year technical colleges in the state of New York at that time. Another event that was of great interest to us in Buffalo was the dedication of the Institute at 1685 Elmwood. This took place on January the 27th, 1949, almost 2 years after the school had started. But this probably was due to the fact of the change of the State Ed Department to the State University. And on that date in January 49, Dr. Alvin C. Urich, who was then the first president of the State University of New York, came to Buffalo and presented the Institute with what is the closest thing we have to a charter. It is simply a document which excerpts the education law creating the state university and the two-year colleges. Along attached to that is a pen that was used by Governor Dewey in signing this declaration. I guess, as I say, this is probably the closest thing we have to a charter, and it hangs on the wall in our present archives room. Also in 1949, after 2 years of operation, saw the first commencement. The class of 1949 was graduated on September 29, 1949. It seems an odd date, but if you recall, with the co-op program using 11 of the 12 months out of the year, and starting in September 47, it took us almost 2 years to complete the program, Consequently, our first graduation was held September 29, 1949 in Kleinhans Music Hall. There were 323 graduates in the first class, and the first commencement speaker was Dr. Lewis Wilson, who was with the State Ed Department and had been a strong advocate of technical education in the state of New York and had gone back many years and was very instrumental in the Regents post-war plan setting up these two-year institutes. So it was very appropriate that Dr. Wilson was the first commencement speaker, and he was introduced by Dr. Jarvie, who was then with the state university system. In the year 1950, saw another law enacted in the state of New York, which was to have a great impact on our institute. I have reference to what is now known as the Community College Law. This was actually passed in 1950. It's the Article 126 of the State Education Law, which defines community colleges within the state framework. It sets up the method of operation. It sets up the fact that there will be 9 trustees at the community college. 5 of these trustees will be appointed by the local sponsor, and 4 will be appointed by the state or the governor. It spells out the duties of the trustees. It spells out the financial arrangement for community colleges. And briefly, it's this, that the operating costs of the community colleges shall be split 3 ways. 1/3 by student tuition, 1/3 by the sponsor's donation, in most cases that's the counties, and 1/3 by the state. The capital costs, which has to do with equipment and buildings, were to be split 50-50, a half by the sponsoring institution and a half by the state. This community college law was going to pose somewhat of a problem for us in the fact that the 5 institutes of applied arts and sciences under the state university were completely state-supported, completely state-funded, and as I mentioned, there was no tuition at any of these institutions at that time. However, the problem lay in the fact that the community colleges were sponsored and by the local government, as I said, in most cases, counties. It has to be realized that we'd been in operation for some 3 or 4 years prior to this, and the local sponsor, the county, had not put one penny into the running of the school. In fact, we weren't under the jurisdiction of the county, the local sponsor, in any way. So it immediately created the problem of the local sponsor wanting to accept the operation of the institute. This led to a 2 or 3 year period of where we were hanging in limbo. We were hanging by our thumbnails, really, because it took that amount of time for the local sponsors to accept the sponsorship of the Institutes of Applied Arts and Sciences. In our situation in the county of Erie County was not happy to accept the sponsorship. They felt they had never been in the field of education, and they felt that they did not want to get into it at this time. I think the other four institutes of Applied Arts and Sciences were having somewhat of the same problems. I know Broome County, the Broome County resisted the initiation of the community college in Broome County. So we went through a period of 2 or 3 years in which we were really didn't know whether the school was going to remain in existence or not. Each year it would be put off, the decision would be delayed, as there was, I guess you'd call it, political maneuverings went on at the state level and the county level. There has been a great deal of letter writing, lobbying by the 5 institutes to Albany, explaining why we should remain under the state university system. And very frankly, this is what, at that time, we wished to do. We were familiar with the operation, and of course, having a new sponsor, a new financial arrangement, did pose somewhat of a threat. During these 2 or 3 years of 1950 to 53, we were kind of at a state of limbo, as I said, because people did not know just what to expect. We had some people leave our faculty because they weren't sure they were going to have a job next year. Finally, it boiled down to almost a directive. Mr. Frank Moore, who was Lieutenant Governor and a very powerful figure, a native of Kenmore, finally came to the Board of Supervisors. At that time, Erie County was not under the charter system, so we had 54 town supervisors running the county government. And Mr. Moore came to Buffalo, Erie County, in the year about 1953, and told them that the alternative was either you take the schools or the school will be closed. It became almost an ultimatum. The state had carried us for 2 to 3 years, and they finally said either get under the county sponsorship as a community college or the school will close. So Mr. Moore came to Erie County with that, I would call it an ultimatum, just about saying that the county must undertake the sponsorship of the Institute of Applied Arts and Sciences. This was done, I'm sure, very reluctantly by Erie County. As I said, they did not want any part of education. It was an extra financial burden for the county, and they were not particularly happy about having to do it, but they did. The faculty of the Institute at that time was asked if they would want a representative. Mr. Dry asked the faculty if they'd like a representative at the first meeting between the county officers and the new Board of Trustees of the Institute at Buffalo. And the faculty, I was fortunate enough to be elected to be the faculty representative at this first meeting. And I have a vivid recollection of the meeting of the county officials. Mr. Jacob Tick, who's the county comptroller, was the chief fiscal officer and really spoke for Erie County at that time. There was the county attorney and several others here. And Dr. Jarvie, I believe, was here at that time too. And they were told that, I recall very vividly, Elmer Wilde, who was the county attorney, saying that they were there to officiate at the shotgun wedding between the college and the county. Of course, this is a completely different aspect, a completely different way of becoming a community college than some of the schools later, where the counties actually petition the state to grant them the charters for community colleges in their separate counties. The five institutes were actually forced under county sponsorship at that time or go out of existence. I think an understanding of this historical fact gives better understanding of the relationships that exist between the county and the college. With the change of sponsorship, of course, there came the change of name. The New York State Institute of Applied Arts and Sciences at Buffalo went out of existence, and in its place, the Erie County Technical Institute became the new name for the college. It should also be mentioned that Mr. Dry, the first director, who was the title was later or had been changed to president, his term was extended for another year beyond his mandatory retirement age in order for he to facilitate this transfer of sponsorship from the state university to the local Erie County government. Following Mr. Dry's retirement in 1954, Mr. Spring, who had been the assistant director and director of our evening program, became the second president of the then Erie County Technical Institute. During these years, there were two things that took place that had a direct bearing upon our students. The first one is the imposition of tuition. In September of 1953, for the first time, the students were charged a tuition. This tuition at that time was $250 per year. Also, the classes of 49 and 50 did not receive the associate degree. The associate degree was not awarded until the class of 51. There had been considerable talk in 52 and 53 about the fact these students in the early classes did not receive the associate degree. Therefore, through Albany, it was decided that three or four classes, special classes, should be set up in the evening division, allowing these graduates of the two classes to take two courses additional that would qualify them for the associate degree. And this came under the operation of our evening division,
The four courses were set up. Notices were sent out to the graduates of 49 and 50 that the associate degree would be made retroactive to them upon successful completion of two of these four courses. I don't know how many of the graduates took advantage of it, but I'm sure there were a considerable number who came back in order to qualify for the associate degree at that time.